B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
All right, it's the 3 o'clock hour. Flyers with a win last night. We're going to talk about it. Charlie O'Connor will come on at 3:30. The Athletic's lead Flyers writer give us his perspective on the game last night. In the meantime, we need to talk to Flyer fans. Tyrone is thinking you're scared. I don't know if that works or what. They scared or they overconfident?
You think
they're scared?
I think it's fear. And also, I think that they're seeing something that they've never seen before. Mm. This kind of hockey, this style, is very foreign to Philadelphia.
Fear city.
Because think about it. Montreal was the more physical team.
Yeah.
And they lost.
Mm-hmm.
We're used to here in Philly being the more physical team and losing.
Yes, it's true. They were the more skilled team last night that survived.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're more skilled than a lot of teams.
So Flyer fans are having trouble wrapping their head around it.
I think so. I think it made them uncomfortable. Like when Price almost threw the punch.
Mm-hmm.
Flyers fans' DNA says riot, melee. Yeah. Instead, the Flyers just get up and come right back at you and keep staying on you because that's how modern game is. I think the fans know they're good. But this kind of good is different.
Wow.
Because we didn't take the fight to them. We just beat them.
Carey Price okie dug the right, and then when he got up, he threw the left.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
By the way, his own man knocked him into him, so
he didn't see that.
Yeah.
He's a goalie, because he didn't notice that kind of thing.
Shouldn't that be a fine? You can't just be hooking off on people. Even in hockey, you can't just be hooking off. There should be a fine.
They give leeway to the goalie, because the goalie's unprotected.
All right.
3 o'clock hours brought to you by Corpley's Bakery and Deli, world famous tomato pie and hoagie party trays, every bit as good. Let's go to Nate in Westchester, start things off in the 3 o'clock hour. What's up, Nate?
Hey, Mike. How you doing, man?
Good.
Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure, man. Well, how do you feel about last night?
I'm not worried at all, really. They threw a clunker. They certainly weren't the team that we saw during the warm-up games, especially that first period of the Tampa Bay Lightning game where they were so dominant.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not really worried about this Montreal team at all. I think I think Montreal might win one. Flyers might win it, but the Flyers will take it in five. I don't see it being a problem at all.
Yeah, I can't imagine Montreal winning one. I really can't see it. After what I witnessed last night, if they didn't win that game, and they threw the kitchen sink at them in the second period, and then they got bottled back up into third, and the goaltender is just not going to let them breathe. I can't imagine that they'd be good enough to score 3-4 goals to win a game.
Yeah, I mean, you do make a good point. Anything can happen in the playoffs. You know, there's been times, I mean, the last game, the game that the Flyers lost to Boston at the end of the season before the shutdown, they outplayed Boston and ended up losing that game 2-0 anyway. So something like that could happen.
Yeah.
But there's no way that Montreal is going to beat them in a series.
Yeah. So you're relaxed. It's not that you're nervous because they took the play to the Flyers in the second period.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. But the Flyers won anyway. The only team I was worried about was Tampa Bay, but that was until I watched that first period, like I said. And they were they had 20 shots on goal, and they just dominated them up and down. And with Carter Hart back there in net, I don't really have any worries at this point at all. It's definitely, and I just have to say, this team is so enjoyable. I started watching during the Lindros era, and after watching the revolving door of goalies, the revolving door of coaches, and think about some of the, not the goalies, but some of the players, your buddy, Trent Klatt, and the Colin Forbes, and all those kind of guys that come in here. And I don't even know why they were there, because they really couldn't contribute anything to the team. And this style of play is so much better than what we've seen in the past 30 years. It's just, I'm looking forward to a really enjoyable summertime of hockey here. I totally agree.
And here's the difference. I'm glad you brought that point up. Thanks for the call. The difference is they have true talent interspersed within this team. You didn't have that before. You got by on guile, and you got by on, one name or two. But they have true talent. I mean, you look at the Provorovs and the Farabees and Konechny and Sanheim and Myers. You have interspersed young, true talent in there, which changed the dynamic of how they used to play.
For sure. And since hockey players last so long, if and this goalie's so young, they could put together something where they can win it this year and be in the mix for a while.
Yeah, there's no question.
And when was the last time we felt comfortable like that? I mean, I guess that 70s era into the 80s was the last time where you felt. Then again, now Lindros, they were in the mix every year.
Yeah, like the last time they didn't have like they had Lindros, they had LeClaire, they had Renberg, but they didn't have the young guy, the young up and prompt coming star ticketed player.
So this goes back to the 70s where they have a chance to be in the mix every year for the next five, seven, who knows how long.
Yeah, because you don't forget they've got Lindblom and Frost.
Right, who's not even
in the wings.
Right, just waiting, right. They could be good for a while.
It's a change. It really is. It's hard to get used to when you've been following the Flyers for a lot of years. But the change is going to pedigreed players.
Yes.
All right, let's go to Mo in Westchester. Mo, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mo.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
What's up, Mo?
Tyrone, I'm not scared. It's a little concerning, but not scared. Okay. I thought, obviously, Hart played a really great game last night. Really follows the puck well. I also thought Myers had an excellent game. He got rough and tough in the corners too with some of the Montreal players. Mm-hmm. Some of the areas that concerned me a little bit was, the Flyers I thought would dominate with the faceoffs, and there were times late in periods where Montreal was just constantly winning faceoffs in the offensive zone. So that was a little concerning to me.
Yeah, all right. Montreal's scrappy like that though.
They are.
They focus on winning faceoffs.
And prior to the start of the series, they talked about how Montreal likes to clog the middle of the ice. Mm-hmm. So I noticed in the first period how the Flyers were trying to throw these 150 feet passes out of their defensive zone, tipping it in from the neutral zone or something. That was interesting. So they're trying to beat that central, that middle ice clog. But then the Flyers played into their hands in the second part of the middle first period and the second period.
Yeah.
I mean, Niskanen had a terrible turnover. The guy fell down on a 2-0. I mean, God, there was a lot of luck on both sides too. I mean, the Flyers.
Yeah, that, they messed that 2-0 up. Yeah, he slipped out. His skates lost their edge.
And he's poking at it on his butt.
Yeah.
I think Drew hit one off the pipe. Weber hit one off the pipe in the last 30 seconds.
Yeah.
There were a couple opportunities. I mean, Lawton obviously had a great opportunity. You never see a save like that in 20 years. Thompson had a great opportunity to score. So, I'm not, there was concerns, but I think that, they have good coaching. They'll clean it up.
I am totally with you, man. So you're not scared at all. I don't see the Montreal Canadiens winning a game. I can't see it after what I saw last night.
There was no even strength goals last night from Montreal. So that's a good sign.
Yep.
And so it was moments there, but I'm not scared.
All right, brother.
All right, thanks, man.
You got it, man. I didn't think that Hayes played his best game last night. It wasn't a great game for him.
He wasn't great.
Yeah, but that's all right. He'll come back at it. Let's go, Doug in Florida. What's up, Doug?
What's up, fellas?
Doug, following the Flyers from Flay?
Absolutely,
all right,
I
like
it. I lived up in Philly for 35 years.
Beautiful.
I was here 8 years ago. Yeah, so I still follow all my teams.
Awesome. Where are you in Florida these days?
Just down here by Daytona Beach, Palm Coast, Florida.
Okay, how are you making out down there with what's going on?
Beautiful and hot. Hot and rainy.
Yeah. Well, how are you making out with the social distancing?
I never stopped working. I mean, Florida is one of the first states to reopen down here. I mean, we were all locked down for a while, but everything's pretty much back open. So, we got the beach a couple miles from the house.
Yeah. Who's that that police chief? Is that Florida? The police chief ordered his men not to wear masks? Anybody who comes into the station?
Yeah. I think
who was that? Is that Florida?
Yeah, it was Florida, but it was on the west side of the state. I think it was over there, not for Bard County. It was Marion County, I believe.
Okay. I don't get some people down there sometimes.
Yeah, it was Ocala, Florida, on the west side.
Is that where it was?
Yeah, and it's all political. It's all political.
I hear you.
You know all that, okay?
Yep.
But not the Flyers. Yeah, the Flyers aren't scared. You have to understand something. Montreal already played a full series, or at least, three-quarters of a full series with the Pens.
Mm-hmm.
So they're in that mentality of that playoff-style hockey. The round robin, we were a do-or-die situation, but not really so much dying because of the fact that we were going to be the number 4 seed at worst-case scenario.
Yeah.
Best-case scenario, we swept all three teams. Tampa Bay was the biggest question mark because we hadn't beaten them all year.
Yep.
Every other team we already hammered on.
Mm-hmm.
So once we hammered on Tampa Bay, it was like, all right, let's get on it. Now, the first game the other night wasn't their best. Joseph Spears got to go. He's got to, he, Cade's got to come back in. He had two very bad errant passes.
Yeah, I think that Vigneault gave him a little bit of a leash, and he didn't see what he wanted to see. So I think Hague will be back.
Yeah, and I think he has to come back just because of how physical the Canadians were. You need somebody that's 6'3", 6'4", 220, as opposed to, you know, 5'10", and a buck 60.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, especially on defenses, you know, defensive side of things, because when you get into the corner in the puck battle, you need somebody that can overpower some of their smaller guys on the Montreal end.
I hear you, man. I like it. All right, root them on down there, brother.
Send me out some cheesesteak. There's nothing down here.
I understand, bro. I feel for you. All right, man. We'll talk to you. All right, so I have this story. It's in Ocala. The sheriff, his name is Billy Woods, the Marion County Sheriff's Office. His mandate is that he will not permit his officers to wear masks. And anybody that doesn't comes into the sheriff's office will be asked to remove their mask. And if they don't, they will be asked to leave. The exact opposite of what you should be doing.
Now, that guy used to be on Live PD.
Really?
Yeah.
Billy Woods?
He used to be on Live PT at times, yeah.
What a crumb this guy is.
It does, let's say, okay. I know personally of people who don't believe in seatbelts. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to argue. I'm saying, but you know that because it's the law, because they're told to, they wear them, even though they don't believe in. So let's say you don't believe in masks. Fine. Anybody listening right now, if you don't believe in masks, I'm saying fine. But we know it can't actually hurt you. So why make it a thing?
Well, see, I don't even get past the first thing you said, which is how do you not believe in seatbelts or a mask? Like, that's where I can't get past that part.
Well, they tell me, this guy has told me many times that he's read studies that it's better to be thrown from the car in a serious accident. I'm a messenger. I wear my seatbelt.
Where was this discussion? Was it at the pool?
No.
No, wait.
I try not to discuss stuff at the pool.
Where'd you have this discussion?
This is a person who works in the radio business.
Oh, really?
At another station.
Uh-huh. And what was your reply to that?
I said, "Well, just wear your seatbelt and shut up." I don't want to talk.
How about here's 1,500 other studies that tell you that seatbelts prevent serious injuries.
Of course,
how about that?
Right. So I think what he's thinking about is the one in a million where somebody's knocked unconscious, they wake up, and they can't get free. I think that's what, and I think they latch on us, but that's what happens. I don't get it, but this mask thing, and you know what? And now we don't have college football because of it. Because it's known if everyone had worn masks, the numbers would be low enough, we'd have college football. Basketball wouldn't have to play in a bubble. NHL wouldn't have to flee the country.
But don't we learn? See, let's take that. Let's keep up the session's a great discussion. Because at first it was so unnatural that we did balk at it.
A lot of, like, 30%.
We balked at it. But now, down the road, you go, man, that was the best thing that we could have ever done.
Right.
Like that saying, sometimes we got to learn stuff that's, like, we got to get past the inconvenience of something that we're not unfamiliar with to the point where we believe that it's going to work for us in the long haul. Like, I don't understand people that would buck against that kind of a trend.
There were people who were against airbags. Because they heard about when you didn't wear the seatbelt, it hit your chest. And then people were like, yes, but even if you broke 3 or 4 ribs, you'd stay in the car, you wouldn't die, so that was better. But they would take, they break your ribs.
But everything that we have learned about safety measures have come out to be in favor of the safety measure.
Of course, that's why they have them now, side impact, front impact.
There's nothing that has failed.
Nothing.
So that mentality could take it to this. Like, I don't understand why we never learn. When people aren't like just waking up in the morning and say, let me see what I can mess with the American public with safety measures. They're doing it based on research.
And all of us have been to a doctor's office or a hospital, whether for ourselves or somebody else, and 100% of the nurses and 100% of the doctors have been wearing a mask our whole damn lives.
Yeah.
And you're going to tell me that doesn't matter? Clearly it matters. Clearly they don't want to spread germs. But.
All right, dude. Billy. Billy Woods. Sleep tight. Tony in Eastwick. You're on 97.5 Fanatic. Tony.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
What's going on, Tony?
All right. Been riding with you a lot of years, man. All the way back to you and Steve days of Foul Line Extended.
Wow, man. I appreciate you hanging with me that long.
Yeah, I want to talk a little Flyers, though.
Okay.
I'm hyped about the Flyers. I mean, and Tyrone is absolutely correct when he says the old days, that old hockey, it's obsolete. You know the mucker and grinder, the dump and chase.
Yeah.
You know, now they're finally playing hockey like Detroit, Chicago, LA over the past. Play, and it's exciting.
Yeah.
I watched the game last night, you know, all three periods as I was going. But, well, I was going back and forth because there were other games on. But the fact of the matter is this team is exciting. It seems like these players – really get it. And one thing I want to put in there real quick is the ice condition last night was pretty bad. I mean, if you looked at the ice last night.
They're playing a lot of games on the ice.
Yeah, and it's understandable. You know what I mean? But this team here, especially if on some fresh ice, is going to be really hard to deal with.
Yeah, what was it, 9 periods before that game last night they had played? Yeah.
Or more, because it was, some overtime games and all that. So I'm excited about the Flyers. I think all of the players finally get it. As far, and this coach Vigneault is outstanding. He gets in the head of these players to make them disciplined and say, play your style of hockey. Yeah. Do what I ask you to do, and we can be successful. Yeah. And it seems like to me they bought in.
I totally agree with you, man. Tony, here's the thing. I've been fighting this perception. Tyrone, how long have Flyer fans been hating me?
Oh, for at least 20 years, because I've been hating for 20 years.
And the reason they were hating me is I was bringing out what Tony just brought out. That I was anti-muck, right?
Yes.
I was anti-recycle a flyer, right? I was trying to be progressive with this franchise to bring days like this, and they still hate me.
Yeah, well, that's okay. Let them hate as long as we win.
all right.
Now, real quick, I want to throw in the baseball thing, because Mike, you and I are baseball. I'm almost 58, so I've been around a long time, and I do appreciate 71 through 73 with the Flyers. So the Flyers fans who think that, you know, brothers don't really get down with hockey. That's not true. If you make it exciting for me, I'm going to watch.
I like it.
But real quick with the baseball. What in the world is going on with situational hitting? I mean, runners are scoring position, and you got a Quinn. The Quinn is like knee high to a duck, and he's out here trying to hit a home run, it seems like, every time.
Yeah, it's a bad mix of players.
Put the ball in play.
They're players that don't anticipate the moment. And
it's so frustrating to a baseball enthusiast like myself,
mm-hmm.
you know, but you guys do a fantastic job, man. I'm going to ride with you as long as you stay in there and keep on doing the good thing.
All right, man. Thank you very much.
I got real mad. I switched from the Sixers yesterday.
Yeah.
Segura, first and third, nobody out. Just get a fly ball. Fundamental. Strikes out. Now, Didi picked him up on the next pitch to the warning track, gets the run in. But I hate Segura. It wasn't even just you this time. It's me hating him. He's my least favorite player in the city right now.
You can just tell. Like, you look at players and their mind is somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know, he's one of those dudes. Now, he's got a little bit of skill, but he's not a winning player.
No.
And other organizations have seen that, and they peddle him. Maurice and Philly are on 97.5 The Fanatic. Maurice. Yo, Maurice. Maurice wanted to talk about Ben Simmons. We haven't had a Ben call yet. That's almost a record. An hour and 19 minutes in? Let's go Dave in Bucks County. What's up, Dave?
I, for one, don't want to trade Ben, and I'm willing 2 years that you're in favor of.
There you go. You're riding with me. We're on a boy on the Ben horse.
That's not what I wanted to talk about, though. First off, Tyrone was 100% right when he talked about the one in a million person that hears the story. It's their confirmation bias. They don't want to like seatbelts for whatever reason. So they latch on to the one shred of evidence that there might be that they're, you know, bad for you.
Yeah, it's just like hydrochloroquine. There's one study out there from some goofball that says it works.
Another thing, when it comes to the whole mask thing, I actually think it's not about the science at all, and it's almost like a mini proxy war where people are playing Russian roulette with, you know, themselves to prove some point. I'm not entirely sure what they're trying to do. I didn't want to get into politics, though. Basically, my Flyers point was I think as a Flyers fan, like a lifelong Flyers fan, I've been in the situation where Montreal was last night, and it's almost like they gave us their best shot last night, and they still couldn't pull it out. So that's why I'm pretty confident.
That's exactly what I looked at last night. They got because the team starts to get its spirit broken after a while. You know, when you don't have guys that can score easily, and they're grinders, mostly Montreal, and you dominate that second period, and you had nothing to show for it, that breaks you down.
Absolutely. And not only that, it was the Weber goal and boom, Farabee comes right back, mm-hmm. you know, and now yep. Claude Julien's not feeling well. So I'm pretty confident the Flyers can pull it out.
All right, brother. I like it.
Before I go, can I ask you a true romance trivia question?
Sure.
What does Christopher Walken offer Dennis Hopper in the trailer?
What does he offer him?
Yes.
A Chesterfield.
Okay, that was easy.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Come on, man. all right. Yeah, he turns it down at first. And then when he realizes the jig is up, I might as well. I'm going to my deathbed anyway. I might as well have a last smoke. That's what's classic about it.
Yeah.
And then he goes on the rant.
Oh, I know you got Charlie O'Connor mm-hmm. on the other side.
Yes.
A little later on in the show, we got Westbrook as well. Have a little AI audio.
Oh, we do?
AI met up with Fat Joe again.
Really?
Yeah, and this time he was discussing why he never wanted to be part of a super team.
Oh.
So it's just AI, I guess, just giving these nuggets on Instagram. So we'll have a little sound.
Fat Joe's got the hookup with AI?
Yeah.
Apparently. A regular hookup?
Yeah, everybody's stuck in the house, so now you just talk on Instagram.
All right. We'll have that after this. Mike Missanelli Show. Charlie O'Connor covers the Flyers, The Athletic. On deck. Listen to what he has to say after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 3:30. It is the Mike Missinelli Show. Let's get a Twitter poll update, and then we'll get to Charlie O'Connor some Flyers thoughts. Tyler's really in for Natalie today, and Natalie'll be off tomorrow and also Monday. Tyler, glad you're with us.
Yeah, it's good to be with you.
Give me the update.
All right, so our question is, the Flyers had some struggles with the Canadiens in Game 1 last night. Are you nervous at all about the series? Just over 500 votes so far. 85% say no, they still won the game. Just 15% say yes, they look
a little
shaky.
Well, that's solid. 85% not nervous is solid. Now, we're not hearing from a lot of them today, but let's go to the man who covers the Flyers, the Athletic's lead Flyers writer, Charlie O'Connor, joins us. He's on the Comcast Business Hotline. Charlie, I read your story. You were trying to twist my brain like a pretzel.
Well, you have to try to explain everything, and it was a win. You know, you get the win; it's their first series lead since all the way back in 2012. But it wasn't a dominating win; it was a close game.
Yes, and you make great points about why some Flyer fans should worry or shouldn't worry. And here's the thing that erases it for me, because I watched the same game you saw, and I saw the fact that Montreal poured it on in the second period, and the reason why the Flyers survived was this. This goaltender. And when you have that, I don't think there's any worry at all.
Yeah. If Carter Hart keeps playing as well as he played this entire game, really, as well as he's played since they've gotten into the bubble in Toronto, the Flyers are going to go on a run, because you get that kind of goaltending, you know, that kind of ability just to shut down every time Montreal seemed to be around Carter Hart's net, he was just in complete control. And that's the kind of play that, you know, obviously you're stopping the puck, so you're preventing goals from going in, but it builds confidence across the roster. You know, the guys out there, they're willing to take more risks because they can see that the goalie behind them is going to be able to bail them out if maybe they give up a quality chance because they went for a rush down the ice and try to score. So if Carter Hart is this good through the entirety of the playoffs, the Flyers are in great shape. And that to me was the absolute best thing about this game for the Flyers, was just how strong Carter Hart was. He wasn't phased at all in his first real playoff game.
Yeah. Now you ask a legitimate question, because there are two ways you could look at this. Was their air of invincibility punctured because it wasn't a brilliant game, or was it an example of this team being so good that even if they're not at their best, they just win a playoff game?
Yeah, and I think the next couple games are going to really play into that, because you know, we just got availability with the players up in Toronto, and Shane Gostisbehere made the point that he felt that the Canadiens benefited from the fact that they had actual playoff games, an actual playoff series before this one, whereas the Flyers were just playing round-robin games, which were sort of playoff games, but not really. If they lost, it wasn't the end of the world. So he felt that Montreal benefited from kind of having that intensity level a little bit higher than the Flyers did going into this. Now, if the Flyers come out in game two and they're much closer to their best selves, then we can look at it and say, yeah, that's absolutely what it was. You know, the Flyers just needed a little bit of time to get back going. They didn't have their A game. They won anyway. And now they have their A game and they're going to steamroll this team. If they go out in game two and Montreal replicates the second period a couple more times, then you start wondering if this might not be the best matchup for the Flyers. But in the short term, the Flyers did what they had to do. They won game one. They took the series lead against a team they're supposed to beat. And now they only have to win three more games, and Montreal has to win four. So it's hard to be too critical. But at the same time, there was enough there that, you know, you want to see a better performance in games two and three than you saw in game one for the Flyers.
Yeah, and also you put out there that the Canadiens, you know, if you're worried at all, it's because the Canadiens play a style that forces the Flyers to operate at less than full strength, and they can steal a couple games. But Montreal just, to me, doesn't have enough firepower to score 3-4 goals to be able to accomplish that. How do you see that?
Yeah, I'm with you there. You know, they're a hardworking team. You got to give them credit. You know, you can see why they're capable of pulling the upset against a team that maybe isn't engaged. And the Pittsburgh Penguins in that play-in round were not engaged. They did not look like they were giving it their all, whether they were or not. They didn't look it, and Montreal took advantage, because this is a team that the Canadiens, they worked it at death. You know, they chase down pucks, they create rebounds, but what they don't have is a lot of high-end skill. They don't create a lot of really dangerous chances beyond, you know, rebounds and second chance opportunities. And if you've got a guy like Carter Hart who's shutting them down, you're right. I don't know if they're going to be able to score many goals. And then it just comes down to whether the Flyers, with their superior high-end talent, can create the chances and then finish on the chances that they need to score 2, 3, 4, 5 goals in a game and really take over.
Here's another thing, though. Their best players are going to have to score. And they haven't yet. Drew hasn't, and Hayes hasn't scored in the restart. Now, it was a genius move to get Farabee on that line last night. But is that any cause for concern that the guys that are supposed to score, because there's only so many times you can rely on everybody else?
I think it's a mild concern. I mean, you obviously want to see those guys, you know, finishing on chances, but you have to trust that they're going to eventually. They obviously have the skill to do it. Giroux hit a post in the second period. I think Couturier's played good two-way play. He just hasn't necessarily been lighting the lamp. His passing's been fine. Jake Voracek is down on line three, so he's not dealing with, you know, the best line mates at the moment, but that's what happens when you got a guy like Joel Farabee and you want him up there because he's playing really well. So do the Flyers need their best scorers to play better? Yeah, I think they do. Maybe they don't necessarily need them to play amazing against this team, but they'll certainly need them if they get past Montreal. They'll certainly need guys like Drew and Couturier and Voracek and Konechny. They're certainly going to need those guys to score a lot if they want to beat the best teams in the East. And I think that's the bigger worry, is that maybe you give them this series to kind of, you know, work the rust off and get going. But assuming they win this series, they better be ready for rounds two and three.
And we're talking to Charlie O'Connor, covers the Flyers for the Athletic. Now, Charlie, we're looking at this team and seeing like the depth that they have. But how the lineup change for like the Voracek thing is interesting to me, because normally he would not be like down with that move to the third line. And Vigneault seems to do that kind of thing to test people. Is that going to be a permanent thing? And how has he reacted to that?
My understanding is, you know, he's reacted okay. But I think what it really boils down to is that, you know, in the round robin games, the Voracek was with, was with Couturier and Giroux for the first two games. The line didn't look that great. Farabee comes up, because Voracek doesn't play in the final round robin game, Farabee comes up in that third game against Tampa and looks great. And the top line was the best it had looked throughout the round robin. And the fact of the matter is that you're a head coach. You're not in the business of you know, making all your top players feel good. You're in the business of winning games. It's the playoffs. And right now, Joel Farabee, quite frankly, is clicking at a higher rate with Claude Giroux and Sean Couturier than Jake Voracek. And if that's the way it is, you got to do it. You got to do what's best for the team. And right now, Farabee up on that top line is best for the team. He had another great game last night. He obviously scored the game-winning goal. And also, having him up on the top line, obviously he's not, you know, maybe from a true talent standpoint, he's not quite the player that Jake Voracek is. But there's a benefit, too, to having a guy like Jake Voracek further down the lineup. Mm-hmm. Because then, you know, he's able to face off against teams' third and fourth lines rather than always have to face off against their top lines. Like, depth in the playoffs is huge in hockey. And I think, you know, having Jake Voracek on the third line, having James Van Riems like on the fourth line, you know, maybe it's not the best thing for those guys and for their numbers, but it certainly could pay dividends from a matchup standpoint just because the Flyers will just out-depth their opponents.
Let's talk about Gossens Bear. It's interesting that he was made available. He's in a precarious spot of being here one day and not the next. Would they dare change it up a little bit, even after a win, and go with Hague instead of Gossens Bear?
Yeah, I'm on the fence about that. You know, I wouldn't rule it out entirely, because I do believe the coaching staff sees those guys as close. Obviously, they bring totally different elements to the table, but they see both those guys as useful players. My hunch is that they'll keep the lineup together for game two. They got the win. In the end, they did what they had to do to win. And I don't think Ghost looked terrible. I don't think Ghost was great. You know, I certainly don't think he played as well as he did on Saturday against Tampa, which was the game that essentially earned him his spot back in the lineup. But I don't think he was so poor that you have to rush him out. That said, you know, you lose a game and he doesn't play well, yeah, Robert Hague absolutely could get back in. Robert Hague was on that third pair through the entirety of that stretch run when the Flyers were one of the best teams in the East. He played two games in the round robin. You know, they think a lot of him, and they like that pair with him and Justin Braun. So I would say I think Ghost stays in for game two, but he definitely needs to perform. And let me put it this way. If he has the game he had in game one in game two and the Flyers lose game two, I easily could see Robert Hague back in for game three.
All right, last question is this. Where now, in light of the overtimes grinding up a couple of teams in this conference, how much will that affect what happens as far as the Flyers go? Does it make it easier for them?
You know, it's tough to say. Obviously, Tampa had that five overtime epic a couple days ago. It's hard to say, just because the next time they would play, say, a team like Tampa wouldn't be until the conference final, which is quite a ways away. And by then, you know, the fatigue factor might not matter as much. But yeah, you know, I think it is important for the Flyers, if they're looking to go on a run, to try to take care of business against Montreal as quickly as possible, if for nothing else, because it gives you a chance to, you know, lick your wounds. If you have any guys that are, you know, playing at 70%, give them 4 or 5 days to recuperate and be ready for the next series. So you don't have to jump right back in if you're playing injured. So I think it's always good to finish series as quickly as possible. And if you're not having to play overtime games and your top competition is having to play overtime games, all the better for you.
All right, Charlie, good stuff. And we shall see what happens. This team is carrying this city right now. So it would be really nice if they could play for a Stanley Cup.
It certainly would. Thanks a lot, Mike.
All right, man. There's Charlie O'Connor, The Athletic. Good stuff. He's a hockey man. You can tell he's a hockey man.
Yeah, he is.
We're going to take a break. On the other, we have wide open lines now, so this is a good time to get in. 610-632-0975. On the other side, Tyrone, I'm going to torture you with mentions of Flyer goalies of the past.
Don't.
Oh, yeah, I have to do it. I'm sorry. We have to get this out of our system, because the way we purge this is we more appreciate this guy.
I got you.
All right. Mike Missinelli Show, back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
3:45, Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5, The Fanatic. You know, this Flyer season goes on to what we hope will be a championship conclusion. I'm kind of shocked, Tyrone, that the Flyer faithful have not taken the time to express a debt of gratitude to me. And I know I've said this before. Flyer fans are really withhold their praise for someone who's been an advocate of them building a team like this.
Yeah, for many years.
Yeah, so I'm kind of shocked that they haven't called to express their gratitude.
You know, Mike, I agree with you.
Yeah.
You, the late, great Steve-O, used to call for it as well.
That's correct.
He liked guys who could skate. Uh-huh. He always did like guys who could skate because he didn't always work here. He had seen other cities where guys could skate.
Yep.
And you would think now they can come to a... Mike, I think there's Flyers fans still mad at you.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to figure out how, though. Because I had their best interest at heart.
Of course you did.
You know, like people thought I was the enemy of the Flyers. And I've gone, I'm an enemy of not them not building a team that's worthy of a fan base. That's what I was getting at.
Of course.
You know, I wanted them to have a different approach, a more modernistic, progressive approach to hockey rather than the old Flyer mindset, which just the constant since the 70s just never changed. So that's what I was the advocate for. You now you got something, and all right, and you want to kick me into the embers? All right, whatever.
Yeah, I think
I'll get over it.
If they were being fair, they would at least give a polite thank you.
Yeah, a thank you card would be nice.
Very nice.
Yeah, they can nail it here. Send it to the station.
Yeah, you go to the website and get the address.
You don't even have to go in the air and swallow your pride. Just send a little note.
Worst case, the least they could do is try to bring you into the enjoyment because I think you helped advocate for what's happening right now, and I think they finally listened.
Well,
because we know that we have people in these buildings or in those that matter. I know for a fact there are people who monitor this station and monitor this program to hear what the fans are talking about and what the hosts are talking about. I know that for a fact, and I can't help but think that you helped break the mold.
Listen. Galileo was ridiculed at one point.
That's a good point.
Right?
Yep.
It wasn't until like years later where they learned to appreciate it.
Took a long time.
Galileo had to be up in heaven smiling down because he finally got his due.
That's tough.
So that's what's going to probably be with me. All right. Let me go. Flyer fans are just like driving into ruts right now. All right. Let me give you some. Let's go through the purge.
All right.
Of mediocre goalies that they've tried to get by with. So we'll try to go alphabetically here. So let's go Brzgalov, obviously.
Oh, man.
Roman Čechmánek.
Oh.
Where he started off good and then went bad.
I had to hear all about how he was the future. He was the best goalie in Europe.
Yes. Ray Emery. Razor.
Ray had had.
Was brought in... when after Laviolette didn't make the playoffs, he was one of the guys they brought in, right? Razor.
Yeah, a little past it, but rest in peace to him.
Yes. Robert Esch.
Come on. Another guy that propaganda told me he could play.
Let's go with Michael Layton. Alex Lyon. Who was once a prospect before Carter Hart?
Yeah.
Right? They talked about Alex Lyon.
Got to give some credit to Jason for that. He saw right through it.
Michael Neuvirth.
Another propaganda machine.
Yes.
He could be, if you play good in front of him, you can win the cup.
And ready for this one? A Finn. And Tero Niedermäki.
Oh, another European.
Yeah, there you go.
Flyers going to just like the Phillies when they do go Dominican, they find players that can't play.
Uh-huh.
All of a sudden, the Flyers go Euro and they get a Euro that can't play.
Yes, Dominic Roussel.
Oh, I remember Dominic Roussel. He was another prospect for a while.
Yes, and a Swede, post-Pelly Swede, Tommy Soderstrom.
Yeah, never happened for Tommy.
Anthony Stolarz.
Goodness.
He has another prospect. Anthony Stolarz.
Now they just kept on pumping him through. Oh, this is the next guy.
There you go. And Ken Reggett, your favorite.
Oh, these guys telling me that Reggett was going to be, he's a good gamer, brings the kind of toughness that you need between the pipes.
Yep.
How about you stop the puck? the toughness between the pipes.
Well, yeah, I had to do that, man. That was a purge. Let's go, Jeff and Ambler. Jeff, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, Michael, how are you?
What's going on, Jeff?
Good. I can't believe you just went down that list. I always give you a list, and my list today was the five worst starting goalies for the Flyers.
Really?
Did I hit on all of them? No. Number five was Rick St. Croix.
Not bad, though. He shared the net with, I was covering the Flyers back then. He shared the net with Peters. He wasn't that bad. He wasn't a starter, but he wasn't that bad either.
Okay, I got number four, Ty's favorite, Ken Raggett.
Yeah, Raggett.
Number three was Tommy Soderstrom.
Tommy Soderstrom.
Number two was Phil Mir.
Phil Mir. Yeah, that was like old school Phil Mir.
I think he was right before
Peter. He was at the end of his career when they got him. He was a Montreal goalie for a long time.
Yeah, and my number one was Mark LaForest.
Mark LaForest, yes. That's a great name. I don't know how Trees. He didn't play that many. He only played 38 games, LaForest.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Do you remember they had a guy in the early 80s, his name was Robbie Moore?
Robbie Moore, yes. He played in 1979.
It was like 4-1, but they said he used to get sick before every game.
He was 3-0-1 for the Flyers.
Yeah, but he used to throw up before every game.
Did he?
He never got over that.
He was a little guy.
Yeah.
177 his goals against average was in those games.
Yeah, but
Robbie Moore.
He used to get sick all the time?
Yeah, I do remember that. That's good stuff, man.
Yeah, I have a question for you. What are the odds that the Phillies sign Realmuto? Because I'm really worried that they're not going to sign him. They're not even talking to his agent.
I'm in the mindset that I wouldn't worry. There's no way that they can't not sign him. So, okay. You know, like I don't know what reason would they have for not signing him?
Because they don't want to spend the money. I don't know.
Yeah, but see, I don't understand why they're not. There's no salary cap. Like, Middleton, I don't think would let a guy like that go. I think they're just posturing. They're waiting to see what his value is. I think they like the fact that he would go in a slump. Right?
Can I give you a Jake Arrieta?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. He's the only pitcher in Major League history that has the highest ERA for one team, Baltimore, and the lowest career ERA for another team.
Oh, really? Yeah, that's pretty good. That's a good factoid there for my man who's... He's going to toe the slab, as they say, in about, during the rain delay. Is it raining out there now? Oh, well. They'll carry this one on for a while, though.
Yeah.
They'll try to get this one in. Rain delay, it starts in the afternoon. Don't have to worry about late night. All right, 4 o'clock hour with Brian Westbrook talking Flyer hockey. At the 4 o'clock hour, I got to test him. I got to test B. Westbrook hockey. That's coming up at 4 o'clock on the Mike Missanelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.